Hello, hello. Good morning, good morning. Happy Easter, everyone. Welcome, welcome to the church at Southside. We're going to do some worshiping today. Feel free to worship with us. We're celebrating an amazing event. But we want you to know that amazing event didn't just happen a couple thousand years ago. It's literally happening every day. The resurrection that happened a few thousand years ago can still happen in your life for anything that you may need Jesus to bring back to life. That's something that he is willing to do, something he's available to do, and something that he's wanting to do for each of you. Your goodness, I would be desperate without your love, slave to the darkness. If it wasn't for the cross, you have warned me with your kindness, chased me down. When I was lost, oh, where would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood, you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross. Hey. And all my shame was met with mercy. Now your mercy will be my song. Oh, the glory. Oh, the power of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. Whoa. With your blood, you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross. I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished. It is done. By your stripes I'm healed. By your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished. It is done. By your death I'm healed. By your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished, it is done. By your stripes I'm healed. By your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. Whoa. With your blood you bought my blood, you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross. With your blood, you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross. All right. Hello, yeah. It dawned on me the other day that almost all the things that I pray for are in the future. Even the most purest of things, like, God, I want to walk with you closer. I want to know you more. I want this or I want that. And then there's selfish things like, I need more money or I need this or I need that. But I have learned, I'm learning that God offers us something in the moment. He offers us something right now where we are. He offers us freedom and joy. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, I don't know if you remember, he's like, look at the birds. You know, you don't see them fretting over what they're going to get or how they're going to feed their bird kids. What are baby birds? Baby birds? Birdlings? It's just baby birds? Birdlings. Yeah. Is it birdlings?
No, I made that up.
He made that up. Okay. Someone should look that up, though. If you're playing Scrabble right now, I wouldn't go for that word. It's probably going to make you lose the game. But he says, look at the flowers of the field. You know, and he's... There's this beautiful thing called, our friend Roger Patterson, I spoke on this a while back, the sacrament of the moment. Am I saying that right? So, you know, we say, you know, God wants to set you free. He wants to set you free from all the things you struggle from, which kind of insinuates tomorrow when you wake up, you know, God wants to set you free, or God wants to give you hope, or he wants to give you peace, or... But the reality is that God is offering all of those things to you in this moment right now. He's offering you freedom right now in this moment. Freedom not to fret or worry over what's coming tomorrow. Freedom just to be in need and let him meet the need of the moment, right? And I've just learned, man, that whenever you give yourself over to that mentality, one, it's reckless. It's completely unreasonable. but it is the way that Jesus calls us to walk. It is the way that he calls us to live. So today... Jesus came to stand in solidarity with humans by dying, by living and dying, and to show us that death is not the end, that there's freedom even from death. But we can choose to have that, what the empty tomb offers us, we can choose to have that right now in this moment. From whatever it is that we're struggling with, whatever it is that we're afraid of, and God allows us, he gives us permission and freedom right now to walk in that in this moment. So we're going to just kind of do a song that's more of a prayer than anything else right now. And just confess that we need Jesus. That we need the empty tomb right now. We need his provision right now. We need his presence. Right now. We need his hope and his joy right now. Because like he said, tomorrow is going to bring us a whole new list of worries and fears. So don't think about tomorrow. Choose to sit in it. Choose to be reckless enough to sit in the grace and the freedom that Jesus offers to us right now. Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. And Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Oh, you're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Amen.
Well, good morning. I've got just a few words I want to share this morning. I don't think much needs to be said on a day like today, and we're going to let these guys come back up and continue to lead us in worship. I do want to tell you this, if you're here this morning, as soon as we're finished up, before we start passing out things, I do have a special announcement that we'll do off camera. Other folks aren't going to hear this. It's just kind of a family thing for right now, and so just please, as soon as we're finished, give us just a moment, and we'll talk about that together. All good things, good news, by the way. But I want to share just a couple of words this morning. You can't come to an Easter Sunday like this and not talk about an empty tomb. You know the tomb's empty this morning? One person knows the tomb is empty. So I've got good news for the rest of you this morning. The tomb is empty. Do you know that this morning? All right. I want to read the scripture this morning in Luke chapter 24. This is just something that's on my heart this morning. The question, why do you seek the living among the dead? I always love that wording in Luke 24. Why do you seek the living among the dead? The angels says this to the people running up to the tomb. He is not here, but he has risen. A couple of things I love about this. One, obviously, that the tomb is empty, right? It was a borrowed tomb. He wasn't going to need it long. It is empty. He is not there. It is empty today. He has risen. But I love this part. Just as he said, Then they say this, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise. And then it says, oh, and they remembered his words. Do you know that they were surprised? And when the angel said, remember he told you, and he didn't just tell them like in this cryptic, like parable type thing that Jesus did sometimes. He said these words many times. He said, I will be handed over to sinful men. I will be put on a cross and then raised 3 days later. And then they are so surprised when it happens, right? But that's what happened. It says that he went to the tomb and he was told, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen just as he said. But I've got beautiful news this morning. You see, we kind of dumb this story down. Everybody comes to a gathering, maybe not quite like this, but a gathering on an Easter Sunday, and they expect to hear these words, the tomb is empty, right? We get it. It's not a shocker. It's not a surprise. But here's why I want to tell you is so crucial to that part of the message. There was a reason that he was handed over to sinful men. There was a reason that he was placed in a borrowed tomb. There was a reason that he raised from the dead, and it's all about relationship. You see, that gets glossed over sometimes. It's just a story. It's just a story about a man that was beaten, hung on a cross, and then 3 days later, he raises from the dead. And in fact, if we're not careful, it can just become this mystical kind of magical story that means absolutely nothing to us in our daily life, except I want to tell you this. I believe it's of utmost importance. Everything. Not just in the future, as Jesse said, but here in that sacrament of the present, the right now moment that we are in. And here's why. It's because it was all about relationship. When Jesus created you in the garden, you know that he was involved in creation. We've been in the book of John. John 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's always been. It didn't just happen Christmas morning. He's always been. If you look, there's times he pops up in the Old Testament. And then, of course, the New Testament, we see Jesus. And if there's one singular thing that has been true in all of those instances, he is about relationship with you and with me. His mission statement, I want to read why he was handed over to sinful men. He knew it. He was willingly marching into his death for this reason. Jesus' mission statement. It's in the Old Testament in Isaiah 61, and then when he reads the scroll in the New Testament, this is what he reads for the crowd to hear that day, and I believe it's what he wants us to hear today. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Anybody poor in spirit this morning need something? He's here to bring good news to you. Anybody brokenhearted this morning, got something, man, where it just feels like there's something broken on the inside? I give you good news. He sent Jesus to bind up the brokenhearted. I want you to picture someone on their knees binding up a wound lovingly. No judgment what that brokenheartedness is from, but he's here to bind up the brokenhearted. Anybody feel like you're captive to something? Maybe it's sin, maybe it's addiction, maybe it's circumstance. Any captives out here this morning? I see some. He's here to proclaim liberty to the captives. Opening of the prison to those who are bound and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That is why he was handed over to sinful men. That is why he was placed in a tomb. That is why he is no longer there for relationship. Why do you seek the living among the dead? I want to share with you one closing thought on this passage of why do you seek the living among the dead. I'm going to take you back in time to probably 8-year-old little Keith. This is the part of the story I loved the most. You remember the guy, Peter, the disciple? Right? He denies that he even knows who Jesus is 3 times. Jesus told him this was going to happen. When Peter hears of the empty tomb, I loved this part of the story. Others, it says that it seemed to them like an idle tale and they didn't believe the story. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. It said, Peter rose and ran to the tomb. I want everybody to look this way this morning. Some of us need to do that exact same thing, not just today on Easter, not just once a year, but tomorrow, rise and run to the tomb. Herein lies everything, life and life abundant, that Jesus died for you, offers relationship. That look at me this morning. No matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you will do, you have the opportunity to be sons and daughters of the King of Kings because there is an empty tomb. Will you pray with me this morning? Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We need you. We need your grace and mercy. It is all about you this morning. The empty tomb is so critical. May we be like Peter, that we, wherever in our heart has us this morning, if we are brokenhearted, if we are captive to something this morning, if we just need liberty this morning, that we would rise and run to the empty tomb and realize that you have bought our freedom. You have set us free with a precious price, the price of your very life, Jesus, that you laid down your life. I can't help but think of the good shepherd this morning who laid down his life willingly for the sheep. You rode into town knowing what was going to be taken from you, knowing that separation from the Father was going to happen. But you did so willingly, and you did so for each person here. Don't care what they've done, what they're doing, or what they will do. Jesus, freedom is available because of the empty tomb. Jesus, we love you, we need you, and we worship you this morning. We pray and we ask this all in your name. Amen. I want to share with you something just before I turn it over to these guys in this, that because of that, he is in the process this morning. If you find yourself brokenhearted, captive, all of those things, just know this, that redemption is in process right now, that all things are being made new. All things are being made right. All that you've lost will be regained. Amen this morning. Hey, as these guys continue to come, I want to make just a quick announcement that I don't care if other folks hear. Some of you know about this, that this parking lot has been sold. Okay, it's not going to be anything just like super quick or anything like that, but I got good news for you. Remember, who was with us the last time we moved parking lots? We got several people that was with us. We got a short move this time, all right? Norton's here that owns this parking lot. I want you to know, man, God bless these guys. When this was sold, there was an offer they couldn't refuse, any Godfather fans out there. I did not think I would mention the Godfather on Easter Sunday, but anyway, go watch. It's a great movie in that genre. All right, Lord help us. All right, but they were made an offer they couldn't refuse, but do you know their first call after that was to look and to try to buy this parking lot so that we would have a place to meet? That's good stuff. That's a partnership. That is provision from the Father. Obviously, you can see this. There's stuff going on over here. So here's what they told me. Said, Keith, we don't want you to go anywhere. We love, this is the exact wording from Cameron, the owner of Norton's. We love being part of your story. That's beautiful. That's provision from the Father through them. And so what he said, what we're going to start doing is we're just going to move these Norton's florist vans. By the way, if you hadn't got flowers for Easter, check with Norton's florist. They're awesome people, all right? But they said, we'll just move these vans out on Saturday and y'all can meet over here. We don't want you to leave. We don't want you to go anywhere. So if you come a Sunday and we're not here, just look across the street. We'll be right there, all right? Short move this time, all right? So thank them for that. When you see them, thank the Lord for that. That's provision. I share that this morning. Didn't plan on sharing that part. But some were made aware that, hey, this parking lot's been sold. Didn't want you freaking out. Didn't want you thinking we're not going anywhere. Rain or shine, we will be here unless Jesus takes us home, all right? Other than that, we're going to be here. It doesn't matter. But we might be there. So just keep a look, all right? I love you guys. Let's pray and turn it over to these guys. Father, we love you. We continue to worship you. Thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice, the grace, the mercy, compassion, not only on the cross, not only riding into the city, but that you show me every single moment, every single hour we need you, just as these guys saying. We continue to worship you. The tomb is empty and we praise you. Jesus, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
billowed calm on her agencies, souls of men she crew. Sun and moon from balcony turned her head in disbelief. Their precious love would taste the sting, disfigured and disdained. And on Friday a thief, and on Sunday a king. Born of the slain, oh, the man Jesus Christ, the death in his grave. So 3 days in darkness slept the Son of Man of righteousness, that rose to shame the throes of death and overturned his rule. Now daughters and the sons of men would pay not their dues again. The debt of blood they owed was rent, but the day he rolled anew. And on Friday a thief, and on Sunday a thief. Lay down in grief, but awoke with the keys of hell on that day. Firstborn of the slain, oh, the man Jesus Christ, the death in his grave. And on Sunday a king lay down in grief, but awoke cold and keys. So fell on that day, the firstborn of the slain. Oh, the man Jesus Christ faith, death in his grave.
So me and Freddie were just talking about something a minute ago. Come on. It was a private conversation, but I'm making it public now.
Come on, make it.
Come on. So
Do it.
I'm going to say something, and this may sound weird, okay? But I've said a lot of weird things before, so I shouldn't be surprised. But love is the only reality. And this is what I mean. So I learned this from a guy named Richard Rohr. He's a Franciscan priest, if I said that right. Writes books and speaks and stuff. But he writes a book called Everything Belongs. I've read it several times, reading it again. But I was sitting there last night, I was thinking about that statement, love is the only reality. Because we were talking about earlier, I mentioned, you know, the prayers that I pray are all future prayers, a future
warding off bad things and, you know, asking for this or that or closer walk with God or whatever. But I was sitting, and I didn't really get that statement really. So I was sitting last night, me and Tegan, my daughter, sitting around a fire. And every time I build a fire, my kids like to burn things in it because it's just fun to them. And they like to get a stick. And they're like, Dad, give me a stick that I can set on fire. So I'm raising little pyro weirdos. But so I get her a stick and kind of whittle it down a little bit and wrap some paper around the end of it. Poured some gas on it. No, I didn't do that. I'm just kidding. But she sticks in the fire. She's sitting there holding the stick up. And I'm just sitting there watching my daughter, enjoying the sacredness of the moment, you know. And God sidles up in those moments. And he's like, what's the reality here? The reality is that I love and cherish and I delight in my daughter. Yes. Right? Yes. And me and Freddie were talking about raising kids, and it's like kids teach you the beauty of that, because though our kids frustrate us and they can be irritating sometimes, but I think unless you're just a really shitty person, there is something in all of us that loves and delights in those that come from our gene pool, right? There's something that we love and delight in our kids. But think about the false reality. There's the false reality of fear that says, what's going to happen tomorrow? What if I screw up? What if I don't do enough? What if I'm not a good enough dad? What if I'm not a good enough provider? And all of those what ifs are false realities, right? But love is absolute reality. Because how God sees you is really the only thing that matters. How God sees you right now is the only thing that matters. And dude, ladies and gentlemen, you may have went out last night and totally screwed it up. But can I just, you may have went out last night and totally screwed it up, right? Got drunk, got high, had sex with several people, did whatever weird crap that you did last night. But can I just tell you that God, your creator, sees you. And even though there's stuff piled on top, there's mistakes, there's things you're doing to harm yourself that make him sad, he still sees the person he created. The person holding the flaming stick, sitting by the fire, that he deeply loves and he deeply cherishes. Love is the only reality. It's the only reality. So here's the deal, man. God bet it all on relationships. He bet it all on relationships. And you know what? He's calling us to bet all on relationship. Amen. Amen. He's calling us to slide all our chips to the center and say, God, I'm all in. I'm all in with you because love is the only reality. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
When the night starts pushing up the day, when the miles drop me on the open plains, when I've lost grace with the lady of the dawn, you're what I'm counting on. Oh, you're what I'm counting. Shadow.
company I keep when I'm pushed past the point of pressing on. You're what I'm counting on. Yeah. I'm through storms, a bad year and no casting shadows upon your door. Oh, I'm going storms, a bad shadows upon your door. Where the bonds break right outside my door, when I can't shake the onset of my wounds, when the stakes are raised, we hold the hand we've drawn. Oh, what I'm counting. Shadows upon your door, yeah. And by your window, I'm casting shadows upon.
So, this song is called Graves into Gardens. And we had been talking for a while about some of the songs we really wanted to sing that really embodied the beautifulness of this day. But for some reason, as God loves to do with me, and he knows that I'm so ADHD, I'm completely into it. But he loves to change things on us last minute. And so I wake up in the morning. And I haven't listened to the song or sang the song in maybe like a year and a half. Hadn't thought about it. And he brings it to my mind. And I'm like, okay, that's a nice song, God. Thank you for the little mental radio thing, but I have things I need to do. So, Lord, if you'll mind just moving out of the way so I can do all the busy things that I think are important. But luckily and thankfully, God loves me too much to let my foolishness get in the way of his plan. So he kept playing the song in my head. You know, there's a verse in this song called "The God of the Mountain is the God of the Valley." Whew. The God of the Mountain is the God of the Valley. What does that mean? For me, that broke me down right there. Because sometimes when I'm on the mountain, and by that I mean when everything is going okay, I don't really talk to God that much. And when I'm down in the valley, I'm like, God, why'd you leave me down here? But God loves you as much when he's in that valley with you, and he has the same amount of power as he does when he puts you on that mountain. So as we sort of move through, we need to understand that God has the power to lift you from anything, but he also has the grace and the mercy to love you in whatever you're in. That's God's power.
search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade were never enough. Lord, then you came along and you put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. So I'm not afraid,
come on,
to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, oh, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing than you. Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. Whoa. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into garden. You turn bones into army. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. Lord, there's nothing than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
You know, I gotta take a minute to tell you, I've always sang throughout my whole life. I love singing, but when God truly revealed himself to me, I started crying when I started singing. Which is an extremely masculine thing to do. But initially, I was so kind of self-conscious, and I'm like, Lord, I thought you wanted me to sing. And he just lays on my heart. He's like, no, I just want to love you. And I want to love other people through your song. And so I don't need you to be perfect. I don't need you to hit every note. I need you to be mine and to be open and to let me love them through you. Even though sometimes I still struggle in this moment, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for using me as a vessel. Just do that bridge again, man.
Turn mourning to dancing. You gave beauty for ashes. You turned shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord, there's nothing better than you, Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
God to turn some graves in your life in the gardens. If you need God to turn some bones into armies, if you need God to turn some seas into highways, you can come to the altar. Now, this is a church. There's no building here. This is an altar. There's no altar here. Because all of that is in your heart. And you don't need anybody to tell you that you are a direct child of the Most High God. So if you would like for gardens to be where your graves are, for the bones in your life to stand up, grow strength, and become armies. If you need that breakthrough, you don't need anybody but your Father who's willing to talk to you right now. So whether you do it right now, next couple weeks, next couple days, He's still just as eager to talk to you. He's still just as capable to fix everything, and He's still full of love. So that He will never turn you away. We love you.
There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Jesus, man, we just come celebrating that today, God, that you are a good Father, that you are good to us, God, that you make something out of nothing, God, that you resurrect and you restore, God, and you make new. Father, we ask just over today, we pray over today for the remainder, God, of our time together, Father, that you would, God, open our eyes to kingdom provision. God, that your love through provision is so evident in this place. In your name we pray, amen.
Everybody, I just want to say, you know, Easter is a wonderful day, and there's lots of great food, and there's eggs, and there's all this candy and amazing things. But any day where God shows his power is a good day, amen? And so if we have testimonies, we're never going to stop testimonies from flowing out, because that's how we heal, through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So my brother, come tell them what God's done for you.
My name is Herbert Sims. I have books and videos and everything, But I just want to tell you how it's going to go now. I seen everything in the world, but when I came down here one day, and I came down here to this church, and all the things people did to me and stuff like that, when I sit here and this guy touched me, and all the things I seen, all the people and the things they had done, just like they did Jesus before they nailed to the cross. I seen all those things while he was praying to me. I'm saying, what's going on, Lord? And when I stood up, it's a lot of, I started throwing up and blood started coming out of my mouth. I said, what's wrong, Lord? I'm going to die. And then I laid down. And then when I went back to the house, all the things, people, like I asked the lady for a pair of shorts. I got ragged shorts. She can have all the shorts. Because since this man touched me, ain't nothing in this world. I don't care about none of y'all. God is in my life, and I don't care. And I'm already in heaven when he touched me. And you can believe it or not, and I'm all right. Ain't nothing in this world could ever touch me because I've been reborn again. And the day is Easter. I don't care. I've been at my house for 3 days with my lights off because my caseworker didn't do his job. My pay take all my money. I don't care about no money, no nothing. But God, he got me. And I don't have a friend in the world. Everybody in my life is dead. I'm 77 years old. I don't know nobody in this world. I told cold, ice, we didn't have telephones. I never seen a phone before. I got a flat screen TV. I never had one in my whole life out of 17 years. My life has been stuck in the past looking at VCR, Perry Mason, Pagan Place. This man has taught me. I died, and today I am a whole new person. You can say I'm 77. I'm 1 year old. And from now on out, I don't care about nothing in this world but just being here and serving the Lord, and don't worry about what people say or whatever they got. Greed, nothing, I don't care. I slept on the bridge. I had stuff to make a billy goat puke. 3 years of my life. I took care of a girl I got beat for back in the 60s. I never had near white girl. They just hang us back then. She come to me from God. Now, I'm a witness, and all the things I did for her and all the people that did me wrong, all the people that took my check, I don't care. And now I'm all right because one person changed me. When I throwed all that stuff up, that was all the evilness and the drugs and everything that made me bad. He can keep all of my money. I don't need no pay. I don't need nobody but God. And that's all I got to say. Amen.
No, you did that. You did that. Amen. Amen. I love that. I love that. And the only thing I would actually say, that's a beautiful testimony, but the only thing I would differ with you is that you've never been a bad person. You never had any bad to you. There was never any bad. It's just you had to remember who you were. That's all. That's all. Come on. We had another. My brother came up here. He said he wanted to give a testimony. Keith, is that cool? Come on. Come on. The blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. That's how we triumph over all things.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Scotty Perry. I just got out of prison. Actually, I've been in prison in 4 different cities. Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Texas. And I'm currently on parole. But I knew everything had to happen, or something has to happen. I was what you call a serial suicider. I was very suicidal in the early 90s, up to 2000. But I was delivered by the Holy Spirit. So I thank God for changing a man like me. I was very promiscuous. I was very promiscuous out there. I used to own a porn service. Did a lot of stealing, thieving, lying. But it wasn't who I was. So, I had to understand that until God came in my life and told me I was somebody. I was a cutter. I cut myself probably for 12 years. I tried to kill myself over 18 times. Various things, made a lot of things. Even tried to shoot myself. Well, actually, I did shoot myself. But God wouldn't let me go. And I didn't understand, like, man, why you just let me go? Let me die. You know, let me go. I denounced God, didn't like him, didn't care. But God had a plan for my life. So I've been on some form of supervision since 1992. I come off parole April 18. So, and I believe that freedom comes in a lot of different ways. You know, when I read John 8:32, and it says, truth shall set you free. And the man who is free indeed. Then I go to Corinthians 2:17, said that, now the Lord is spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. So I had to understand. I'm like, man, what you talking about? So I'll land in my bunk in Harris County Jail. I turned myself in Stuart, Tennessee. Let me go back to Stuart, Tennessee in 2018. I turned myself in. So after I did that, I'll land on my bunk in Harris County. And God said, now I'm gonna show you why you're not crazy, you're not a suicider, you're not none of these things. I was bound by drugs. Drugs had me so deep to where I was stealing, lying, deceiving, and I was taking things from people and understand that it wasn't who I was. But God really showed me who I was. I laid, I mean, never forget, I cried while I was sleeping. I could see it. I could feel it. That crack, actually, I was smoking Primos, if you don't know what that is. I was smoking crack and cigarettes together. And I hate cigarette, and I hate dope. I do. But when I realized, I said, you tell me this all that had me confused, showing me that? He said, yeah, man, ain't nothing wrong with you. I talk to God just like I'm talking to you. And I didn't plan on coming here, believe that. I did not. I was riding. And I saw y'all. I said, hold on, let me turn. I parked right over there. So I'm saying that, man, if you're going through anything, man, you ask God to come in your life. Follow Jesus Christ, and I promise he'll deliver you. I didn't plan on being. I just turned 50. So God kept me. He kept me, and he held on to me. And me and my brother came to a meeting there 2 weeks ago. I own several food trucks. So we own a lounge. But he's been good to me. And I thank God for I thank God for taking me. So, it's okay. We have to go through something in order to get something. And I know everything was done by choices. Everything is a choice in life. And God gave me discernment and showed me that I'm a child of God and I'm a servant of God. I believe that. You can believe that. And I do stuff for the homeless, even right now by myself. So, so if you're going through anything, you know, man, give yourself to God. Invite Jesus Christ in your life. He'll take you from something and take you from nothing, make you something. And I smile every day. I don't think about drugs. I know how to fight now. So and every day it's a battle. It's a spiritual warfare. It is. And it's tough. But when I realize, even though we read Genesis 1:6-25, and God said, and God said, and God said, so if God speak, then I had the same power. So if I start speaking truth over my life, I change my life. If I believe that I'm not a serial suicider, then that's not who I am. If I believe I'm not a drug addict, I'm not a drug addict. I'll be damn somebody. I become somebody. So I became somebody. Somebody powerful. Through the word of God. So, and I think, I thank God. I look back all the times I try to kill myself. You know, I got marks up my arm right here, like I said, why I became a cutter, cutting myself, slit my wrist, like I said, shot myself twice. it's amazing. So if you're a suicider, bound by drugs, all you got to do is call on God, change your life. Invite Jesus Christ in your life. So understanding the Old Testament. Understand when that had happened. Even when John came back, said there'll be one before me. I'm not the Messiah, but one who is, you'll know. So when he came back, and we as people still didn't believe it, but we had to see it. Now we always want to see something for something we believe. That's how we are. We humans. That's just how it is. So when I understood that, and I said, okay. I said, all right. I said, well, God's going down. I said, it's going down. And I thank God, like I said, for changing my life. If he changed mine, he'll change y'all. And everybody got a testimony. Everybody out here got a testimony. And so, you know, I'm so happy. I smile every day. When I get up, I smile. I thank God every day. Because I know I'm supposed to be here. But then again, I said, no, I do supposed to be here. I do supposed to be here. And God kept me. He didn't let his hands off me. He said, he'll never forsake me. And that's what he did. He kept his promise. And I'm going to hold him to that, too. I'm going to hold him to that. He said, he got something for me to do. So I'm in the process of now creating a thing called the Unity Foundation. I'm in the process now called a thing called the Prayer Place, the Homeless Shelter. I'm in the process of building. Working with some city councils. And here I am. And people just said 3 years ago I was crazy. I don't think so. So I thank God. I thank God for dropping me off right here today. You know, because that's what he did. He dropped me off. So keep your head up. And keep your head up, man, and walk forward. Whatever people said, they already done said it. It's already been done. Don't even worry about it. Keep on going. And I thank God for you. So with that, that's all I got. My name is Scotty Perry.
Thank you, brother. Love you, man. Come on. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank y'all so much. We love you guys so much. Remember, we're here. Have a wonderful Easter. I know that God loves you more than you will ever be loved by anything else.